Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We are just a few weeks removed from the NFL draft. The Titans are hosting J.C. Latham and Malik Nabers for their top 30 visits. TD, Teron Davenport will stop by in 1 hour, so we'll get TD's thoughts on all of that. But first, we have to get into the news that came out late last night. I learned my lesson going to sleep early on a Sunday night because I was laying in bed and my phone is blowing up. And I'm like, what do you people want? What is so important? It was important. Coach Calipari leaving Kentucky to take the Arkansas job. Not what I expected. Before we get into, you know, exactly what that means, what comes next, initial reactions to the move.
Wow. You know, I didn't think as much rumbling out there. There was about, you know, especially right after they got put out by Oakland. Is Coach Cal going to keep his job? Are they looking to fire him? What will be the buyout if indeed they do fire him? There was a bunch of that right after, and you expected it, considering the last 4 years, what Coach Cal hasn't been able to do. They haven't reached the Sweet 16. In the last four years, four or 5 years, yes. So there was
a
lot of
Sweet 16. We're not asking Final Four.
Exactly. We're not even saying Elite Eight. Yeah, we're just saying Sweet 16. And he hasn't gotten there or gotten past there in the last 4 years. So there was a lot of rumbling. But after it sort of died down after a while. I mean, obviously, with the whole women's, you know, Final Four and everything going on the women's side, it sort of, you know, overshadowed anything else in sports in regards to, you know, what Coach Cal wasn't able to do at Kentucky. But I'm surprised that this happened. When I saw it, I had to look twice, and then I had to look at other accounts just to make sure, like, is this real? You know, so to me, I think he probably just got tired of the consistent and constant pressure of being a coach in Kentucky. You know, you get all these five stars.
And he lasted longer than a lot.
Yeah, he lasted longer than a lot of others did. And rightfully so, because of the players he were bringing in. I think under his tenure as coach of UK, they've had 35 first-round picks, I believe, somewhere around there since he's been there, with only one title to show for it. Yeah, your seat going to start getting hot. Yeah, you're going to feel the pressure. And I just think he was just like, you know what, I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I go somewhere else and start up new. And his thing is, they'll miss me when I'm gone, I'm sure.
I think that's going to be the question mm-hmm. for the Kentucky fans is you got what you wanted, mm-hmm. a lot of them anyway. Mm-hmm. Something new. You could argue it was time. Mm-hmm. But will you be better off is going to be the question going forward. From Cal's perspective, and I don't know him at all. I've interviewed him a couple times. He was kind of a unknown mm-hmm. assistant coach when I was in high school going to the legendary five-star basketball camp, which mm-hmm. is a thing of the past, but it used to be where the best high school players would go to get recruited. And so I remember him distinctly there. I mean, it's so many coaches from that group mm-hmm. turned out to be future head coaches. It was funny to watch him I remember that guy before mm-hmm. anybody knew who the guy was. And now he's been the coach of Kentucky for so long, and I remember the coach for Kentucky when I was a kid was Joe B. Hall, mm-hmm. and from afar I remember when they won the national championship. Jack Givens had 41 points. It was one of the first title games I ever watched, and from afar I'm like, wow, what a cool thing. So when you quote grow up and you see it a little closer, you realize how much pressure mm-hmm. is on that coach. The coach of Kentucky is under a microscope like no other coach. Maybe no other coach in sports. I mean, there's probably a few that compare, but it might be as much of a microscope as any coach is in any sport. I would subscribe to that.
It's up there.
Just because of the intense love that the fans have for that. Mm-hmm. So for him to last that long, I have seen coaches melt under that, and they just don't last very long. Others, they get to a point. They all have different breaking points. And he lasted a lot longer, especially with 4 years of lacking in terms of success. Mm-hmm. Some guys don't make it that far. So I think the brilliant move here might be Arkansas for kind of seeing it and going, you know what? Let's say, yeah, you don't feel wanted by Kentucky. They're kind of wearing out your welcome. You might be looking for something new. We want you. You could be the guy here. Mm-hmm. Maybe that energized Cal a little bit. Maybe he wasn't thinking about it. I don't know how it all started. But if Arkansas did that and said, you know what? We can go get this guy. Let's make a pitch and say, we got great fans. You get it going here, the fans will come. We have a tremendous fan base here. We're hungry. You can be our guy over here. Mm-hmm. That is a stroke of brilliance there. And the first guy I thought of when I saw this story last night was Tubby Smith, because Tubby Smith kind of did the same thing. The fans were getting restless. They were like, we don't appreciate you. Whatever you do is not good enough unless you win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so he up and took the Minnesota job. Of all places, you think Arkansas is a weird job to take? How about going from Kentucky to Minnesota? Gophers. That's what Tubby Smith did. Minnesota hadn't done a whole lot in basketball. But he left, and he was one step ahead of the posse. I feel like this was a Cal move of, I'm gonna go one step ahead of the posse. I'm going to go somewhere where I am the exciting new guy.
I'm going to break up with you before you break up with
right.
me.
Yes.
And it felt like to me that this is like a marriage that's just run its course. And it seemed like the conversations with Mitch Barnhart, Kentucky's athletic director, and with Cal, it was like, well, you know, divorces are messy and expensive, and we've had a really good time together. And, you know, a few years ago, we've had a whole lot of fun, but the past few years haven't really been great. Maybe we've fallen out of love a little bit. The spark isn't there. The luster of the marriage is worn off, but it's just too difficult to get a divorce. So let's just go ahead and stay married. And then one side finds someone that they really love. And it's like, look, I'm going to move on and find someone new. And that's what it felt like to me. A very amicable separation with two sides that just understood that it's run its course. That this isn't working out for me. It's not working out for you. None of us are happy. So why are we still doing this? And it feels like to me, because I think there's several different perspectives that you can look at this. You can look at it from the Kentucky perspective, the Arkansas perspective, and the Cal perspective. Mm-hmm. From the Kentucky perspective, we don't have to pay the $35 million buyout that we would have had to pay Cal. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Kentucky boosters and Kentucky fans were ready to move on from Cal. It just didn't make sense. So they don't have to pay the money, but they now are afforded the opportunity to find their next coach and a fresh face and a fresh perspective. The Arkansas perspective, I don't think they wanted to move on from Eric Musselman, but Eric Musselman got the USC job. So now Arkansas is looking like, look, we've got a storied history. We had a bad year this past year, but we have high expectations and we have an energized fan base. Now we get the opportunity to get a head coach that's established, that's very well respected, that has a pretty solid track record of recruiting and winning games. And from the Cal perspective, he's rid of the rabid Kentucky fan base. And there are several reports that have come out that have said that Cal was unhappy and has been unhappy at Kentucky. And that there are even talks going back to February of him taking the Ohio State job, that he just wanted an out and couldn't find one. So it makes sense for Kentucky, and it makes sense for Arkansas, and it makes sense for Cal, at least right now. But I don't think that all things can be true, right? Like, are things that easy?
It seems like it's that easy.
It does.
Who's the next guy?
And it may be.
That's the unknown.
Listen, it may be that easy in regards to this portion of what's going on, like the walking away, the separation, and then him getting another job, because it probably was a mutual thing here. And listen, Cal could have, because he walked away, Cal could have said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay here. Y'all going to have to fire me and then have to pay me the money. But he chose not. I think he chose not to burn bridges. I think that's what he did. Because
sick of it.
Exactly. But my thing is, if you're sitting in a position where, you know, not many people are going to do this unless you're just like, and this may lead, you know, lend to what you're saying, it's unhappiness. You're not going to leave that much money on the table unless you are just that unhappy. Like, damn it, I'm done with it. You know, I've had my run. Y'all don't appreciate it. I'm leaving. Y'all can have the money. Because why? I'm going somewhere else that wants me. They're going to pay me the money. Not as much as y'all were paying me, but they're going to pay me the money. But then I get to reestablish this program the way I want to. No one's looking over my shoulder. No one's breathing down my neck. And no one's criticizing me at every step of the way. Look how many men's lives that I helped change, families' lives that I helped change. And the only thing y'all cared about was winning championships. And winning championships is great, but everybody can't win. I'm thinking from a coaching standpoint. But I've touched so many lives. My tenure here, he's been there, 17 years, somewhere around there, because he got there right after Izzo got to Michigan State. So it's been close to that. Mm-hmm. And he just probably just got tired of it. I can go to Arkansas, I can start it up, do it my way, and enjoy basketball again. I'm not sure he was enjoying basketball at Kentucky. I really not. So to me, I think it's good for both. I think it's good for Arkansas. Now they, mark my words, Arkansas will have a top five recruiting class coming up pretty soon here.
I think it's going to be, okay, Kentucky recruiting class.
And then some of those guys are going to leave.
Copy-paste Arkansas recruiting class. Absolutely. They're not sticking around. They're not staying at Kentucky.
And I think Kentucky will be okay. Now, will they be the Kentucky they have been? Probably not this year. But I think eventually they will be okay. But you had to eventually move past Coach Cal, because after a while, it wasn't just about winning games. It was about winning championships. You can barely – I think Kentucky fans would have loved for you barely making the playoffs but then winning a championship instead of, dominating during the year and then getting the tournament and you're exiting even before the Sweet 16. And that's what's happening to Coach Cal. Great teams, but you are out of the playoffs early.
I am really curious to see where it goes now. The timing of it is interesting, right at the edge of the Final Four here. So a little behind where, that first cycle, the Dusty Mays and guys like that have already come and gone. They've already seen the windows open and boom, they've grabbed their next spot. So where does that leave Kentucky with the search? Now, it's Kentucky. So there's going to be some phone calls, but the question is...
Is it still Kentucky, though?
Yeah, it's still Kentucky.
Are they still going to get the five-star recruits?
I think they will.
Depends on who the coach will be.
But I think what we know about Kentucky is they will have the resources, and they will have the NIL, and this is the chance to sort of recalibrate it. I was reading an interesting article about Juwan Howard and where he felt like he went wrong. Mm-hmm. Some of it was self-inflicted, some of the things he did. Then he had some health problems, but he also said that the NIL, they were not organized at the start, and they fell behind, and that hurt. I feel like Kentucky should have the deepest war chest of anybody, right?
Absolutely.
They have an incredible fan base, so they should be able to go compete for anybody, and if they get the right person in there, they'll have the sizzle. But who is it? The number one guy to me, the first phone call would be Billy Donovan, but I don't think Billy Donovan wants to be a college basketball coach. I don't think he wants to deal with that. I think he enjoys the NBA thing more than the college thing, even though he's done it.
Yeah.
But that would be my first phone call.
You're going to pick up the phone and call. Yeah. I think if you're Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director at Arkansas, did you think that Cal was a legitimate option or a legitimate possibility? You never know until you pick up the phone and call, and the worst thing that could happen is that they say no. And I do want to get into what comes next for Kentucky, who fills that hole. But I do wonder from the Arkansas perspective, because you mentioned it, D-Mace, the expectation at Kentucky's championships. Mm-hmm. It's not getting to the tournament. It's not getting to the Sweet 16. It is, are you winning a championship or not? Cal had championship rosters. Mm-hmm. Cal had fours and five stars up and down the roster. Rosters that on paper should annihilate the St. Peters and the Oaklands of the world. But they didn't. That's coaching. It's not a talent deficiency. That's on coaching. Cal doesn't go to Arkansas and all of a sudden get more resources or more money or, more notoriety. It's not that Arkansas is void of money. Hello, John Tyson and Walmart, Jerry Jones. There's a lot of money at Arkansas, but there's also a lot of money and resources at Kentucky as well. So I'm curious, do Arkansas fans' expectations, are they now raised because Cal's in the building? Because Cal has shown us over the last few years He's been struggling to win games with a lot of talent. Or is getting to the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and being relevant and having good regular seasons on a consistent basis, is that good enough for Arkansas fans? I talked to Pat Bradley this morning about it, who played at Arkansas. He's a massive Arkansas fan. And he said, look, Kentucky teams are always good in the regular season. I'll take that. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just a different expectation.
See, and that's what happens when you go from a Kentucky and then you segue over to a Arkansas. The expectations is championships. The expectations is, as long as we're having a really good season, then once we get in the playoff, we'll talk about that later. But we need to energize this program. How do you energize a program? Recruiting and winning during the season. We'll worry about the tournament when we get there. But right now, we need to re-energize our fan base. So, I mean, it's just think about how much pressure that takes off of you. If you have you have Arkansas fans and people that played at Arkansas say, when the season is good. We're not even talking about championships right now.
And we're talking about an Arkansas basketball
program. That won their, yeah.
That story.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. But they're in a situation right now where it's baby steps with them. Cal's going to help, but we're not getting Cal and thinking we're winning a championship this year or next year. No, we're getting him to reestablish our program, to bring energy to our program, and we hope with the recruiting eventually we will get to where Cal got Kentucky many years ago.
Let me throw out a name for Kentucky just to stir the waters a little bit. Would you consider calling Patino?
Now, we will get to that.
He's 71.
Coming up next. Because I pick up the phone and call him.
Well, you wouldn't have to. I mean, he would. I think he'd.
He'd come knocking.
He'd rent a car and he'd drive down there. I think. I don't know. But
that man would teleport to Kentucky.
Can you imagine Rick Pitino and Bobby Petrino both back in Fayetteville? Or both in Fayetteville, rather? That's a lot of scandal.
Yeah.
In one place.
But Pitino 2.0 at Kentucky? Mm. Wow. That would be...
Lexington. Yeah. Okay, do you want to get into your thoughts on this? Because that's a fair point of who do you call next? Who is the right fit? What's the best path for Kentucky? And if you're a Kentucky basketball fan, what's your reaction? Are you happy? Are you saying don't let the door hit you on the way out? Is it a thanks for everything you've done, but we're on to the next? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, hey Jason, Big Joe, if your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets in the Eurostone Club to see Jeff Dunham this Sunday at Bridgestone Arena. This contest is brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Located in Hendersonville in a new location in West Nashville and available online at greentreescompany.com. So tune in tomorrow between 9 and 11 a.m. for your chance to qualify to win. So the big news that came out late last night, Coach Cal going from Kentucky to fill the vacancy in Fayetteville, taking the head coaching job at Arkansas. So now the question is, if you're Kentucky, where do you go? You brought up Billy Donovan.
Who the Kentucky fans want. Now that if you've been the person saying, it's time to get Cal out, and believe me, they all texted D-Mays after exactly. They lost to Oakland. That next show, that was one of the fun shows we've had in a while. I want to know, who do you want? Who do you want?
If I'm a Kentucky fan, and I want to hear from Kentucky fans, but if I am a Kentucky fan, I want to call Dan Hurley. And you pick up the phone and you call Dan Hurley, the head coach at UConn. Now, if I'm Dan Hurley, I have zero reason to leave UConn. None whatsoever. He might win back-to-back national championships. Like, why would he leave? You know, I know Kentucky is mm-hmm. Kentucky.
Pretty good gig.
But at UConn, you have all the basketball resources available. If not Dan Hurley, I call Nate Oates. Because Nate Oates
really?
Did at Alabama what Cal hasn't done in the last four or five seasons, is get to the Final Four. And Nate Oates had basically a depleted roster going into this season. He reloaded, coached him up, got them to the Final Four. I would call Nate Oates because Dan Hurley and Billy Donovan both don't feel like really likely scenarios or candidates that would be jumping at the bit to take the Kentucky job.
But you think Oates would be interested in Kentucky, leaving Alabama to go to Kentucky?
I would. Now, again, if I'm Nate Oates, I could look at it and say, okay, well, I have the resources at Alabama. I have the money. I've proven that I can get the recruits here. Now, Alabama doesn't have the basketball history and the basketball luster that Kentucky has. But I think right now, Nate Oates is at a pretty good gig at Alabama. He just got a contract extension through 2030. So if I'm Nate Oates, I'm feeling pretty comfortable where I am. I've proven that I can win at Alabama. So I don't know why he would want to go to Kentucky unless it would be like that's a dream job scenario for me.
I think when you're, of course, this is the famous line, Mark Gottfried, who was the coach at Alabama for a long time, who played at Alabama.
He, I know what you're about to say.
He said, I would get so frustrated. He says, I love Alabama. I went to Alabama, but it would never end when we would be playing great basketball. And the story in Tuscaloosa the next day was the backup safety got hurt in the spring practice. What are we going to do about the backup safety? What's happening? It's just the unbelievable spotlight on the football team continues to overshadow. Now, I think they've had great atmosphere at Alabama's basketball.
Totally.
Under Nate Oates. But that's the exciting part. If I'm Kentucky, I'm like, man, that's exciting the way they play. The way they just say, we're shooting threes. We're gonna get after it. We're going to shoot threes. It's all about the math. That would translate. So I think if Nate Oates is one of those guys who like, yeah, boy, I could really be in the spotlight of Kentucky and you want that, then there's maybe some interest there. I can see it.
If I'm Nate Oates, I'm not touching that job with a 10-foot pole.
Really?
I'm just not.
You just stay.
You don't want to be the man after the guy. You don't want to be the coach after Coach Cal. You just don't. Why? Because even though Coach Cal
wasn't the guy.
He was. Because even Tubby had to get out of there because, I mean, essentially he was a little bit removed from Patino. I get it. But he was essentially the coach after Patino. And it's like, okay, you won one. Give us more. And he just couldn't get more. End up leaving. Now, Coach Cal comes in, and as much as he didn't do in regards to winning championships, he did a lot, period, just for the program. So when the next guy comes in, the Kentucky fan base and the program is at a high right now. And just like DeBoer in with Alabama, if you ain't winning early, they gonna jump ship.
And you're constantly going to be compared.
Exactly. You're constantly going to be compared to the last guy. This is what the last guy did. This is what Coach Cal did. Yeah, I know he didn't win. You know, I know in the last 4 years he didn't get past the Sweet 16 or didn't get to the Sweet 16. But look at the recruits you were bringing in. Look at what we were doing during the regular season. If you don't get that team back into the playoffs and start winning, they're going to get rid of it. The leash is shorter.
Yeah.
So if I'm Nate Oates, I'm like, I go in after y'all fire him. Then I come in. But I'm not going in. I got a good gig here.
I think
I'm not going in right now.
And I think if you are worried about that part of it, what could go wrong, then it's probably not the job for you.
Yes.
You've got to be enough of an ego guy to say, yeah, I want it. I'll give you another great story. Because I have watched this since I've been doing this a bunch of cycles with the Kentucky job. And I had a unique perspective because the guy that recruited me to Vanderbilt, C.M. Newton, left the coaching position at Vanderbilt to become the athletic director at Kentucky. So I never got to play for Coach Newton. So he became the AD at Kentucky, and he went and hired Rick Pitino, and the rest is history. Like, Kentucky was in serious trouble, right? C.M. Newton came in to rescue them because they were on probation, and there was a scandal, and he had to build them back. They had a couple years where they were ineligible to go to the NCAA tournament. But Pitino got it going quick. Pitino leaves a few years later to take the Celtics job, which ended up not being a great move for Pitino, right? And he ended up coming back to Louisville. But when they lost Pitino, C.M. Newton had to hire the next guy. And so Tubby Smith was the guy he wanted. Tubby Smith was doing a great job at Georgia. So it's a little bit similar, right? You got a guy, Nate Oates is at Alabama.
Yep.
Not as much of a spotlight. Georgia basketball will never have the spotlight that Georgia football will, right? And so this was Cam Newton's question to Tubby Smith. He said, let's forget about money. Let's forget about anything else. I just want to know one thing. Do you want this job? Because I think that's the question for Nate Oates, right? If he gets it, he's got to want everything that comes with Kentucky basketball. Mm-hmm. All the wacky fans are going to say, why did you take so-and-so out of the game with 3 minutes and 17 seconds left when you had this guy coming? Like, because they will break it down to the second. Like
the games in October and November against Nowheresville State
University.
They're
all over you.
Yeah.
They mean everything, right? So you got to love that.
And I think that's the question to Nate Oates is, are you tired of being second fiddle to Alabama football? Do you want to be the guy? Because the basketball coach at Kentucky is the guy. Mm-hmm. If you're the basketball coach at Alabama, well, you know, Nate Oates is great and all, but, like, it's football. And we care about football until we win the national championship in football, and then we'll turn our attention to basketball. But I would say outside of those three, of Billy Donovan, Danny Hurley, and those two, I think are more pipe dreams than anything. Nate Oates. I mean, Rick Pitino, you brought up before the break, Willie. Do you think that's a move Kentucky would make?
I think one guy you can try, and it probably would never happen. But hell, I take a flyer at it. I just get on a jet and just go to his house and say, hey, listen, I'm going to Jay Wright, and I'm saying, what would it take? And now he has a position there in Villanova. Mm-hmm. I think it's like special assistant to the president there or something like that. But you're talking about a Hall of Fame coach that, you know, it's not too far removed from a national championship. I'm sending somebody to his house and just say, hey, listen, what do you think? You have, because to me, that's a hire you can make in the fan base would be even more energized.
You think?
Hell yeah, I think.
Well,
at least me. Jay Wright brings everything that you're looking for in a coach, but he also brings coaching to the court.
Yeah.
Now,
and he's proven.
Exactly.
No question. Here's the problem. And this is why it would stun me.
But he's a Villanova guy through and through.
Well,
I get it.
And I don't know if it's just Villanova. I think what he said when he got out of Villanova, because he didn't get fired by Villanova.
He didn't get fired.
He walked away, right? And I think it was a little bit of like the Nick Saban.
Like, I'm tired of
it. Like, I just don't like the way the game's going here, the nuttiness of NIL and transfers. Because how did he win at Villanova? He didn't have a lot of one and dones. He had great players. He had NBA players. But he loved building a team and having them together. And, okay,
and
last year's
Kentucky
sophomores
needs.
Are now my juniors. Last year's juniors are now my seniors. He had great teams like that. And I just don't know if that model can fly in college basketball. The way the teams are like, okay, I'll stay. Sure, you want to have a great team. Just what am I getting? What are you getting from me? What's in it for me? I don't think he is all about that. And the Kentucky thing, too, I don't know if he craves that kind of spotlight. I will see. He would do a 180 for me if he was interested in that job.
Doesn't mean you don't call. Yeah, I don't think he would take the job, but it doesn't hurt to say, hey, listen, pick up the phone, do whatever you need to. Hey, Jay, what are you thinking?
I also think Kentucky has to play this very strategically, because I can say it's easy for me to say, yeah, pick up the phone and call them, see if they're interested. Mm-hmm. It's going to start to get out, and it's going to start to become more and more of a bad look the more phone calls that Mitch Barnhart makes, and the answer is no. Because if he calls Danny Hurley and it's a no, and he calls, you know, Jay Wright and it's a no, those things are going to start to come out. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to start to come out that nobody wants to coach at Kentucky, that it's not a good job, which I think it is a good job. It's just a job with a lot of spotlight. It's one of the best jobs in America. So I think you also have to play it very strategically. Mm-hmm. That you have to say, well, yeah, I mean, we'd be shooting for the stars and we'd be idiots if we didn't at least try. But also understanding they might say no. And it might be a bad look for your program because you are a little bit behind the eight ball, because you are making a coaching hire later on in the season. And it is still Kentucky basketball.
But
we had this conversation with Alabama football where it was Mike Norvell was in the conversation and it was a no. And then Sark was in the conversation and it was a no. And Dan Lanning reportedly said no. And it was all of this news of all of these other coaches that were like, look, Alabama's awesome, but I have it pretty good where I'm at right now.
Nobody wanted to follow Nick Saban.
Yeah. So,
you don't want to follow the guy that just won nine national championships. You don't want to have to follow that guy. But to me, it's if you want to get away from it, and Willie is right, you know, Kentucky is known for their, you know, we bring in these five-star athletes. You know, the majority of them end up being one and dones. Mm-hmm. We end up having a really good season, but it doesn't amount to a national championship. But we can say we had two, you know, top 10 or top 15 players. I think it's almost like that's been the curse for Kentucky. Being able to go out and recruit the way they have been, that's the curse because they haven't been able to win championships. With all that great recruiting is the gift, but you're not giving us anything. It's the curse. Mm-hmm. You're not giving us any championships, you know, to sort of, you know, look at after all these five stars. To me, Jay Wright would change sort of the atmosphere or change, you know, how Kentucky is perceived because he's not necessarily a one-and-done coach.
Yeah.
He wants to coach individuals. He would love for them to stay more than a year. And I know every other college coach want that to happen too. But you change what people think about Kentucky if you bring in a Jay Wright. Mm-hmm. No longer do they think about Kentucky as being one and done, mm-hmm. you know, a bunch of young people. I think they'll look at it a little bit different because of how Jay Wright won his championships and how he built this team. Now, can you make that happen in Kentucky? I don't know. I don't know if you can make it to where we go from being a one-and-done university, basically that's what it was, to now we're keeping guys maybe 2 years, 3 years, and building up this program.
It seems like the formula's changing. So yeah. If you do want to win national championships, you're going to have to adapt. But I want to get back into our thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got a bunch of Kentucky fans' thoughts on who's the next guy? Who's the guy that follows Coach Cal? And we'll get into those coming up next. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21. When you're older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, Cal is headed to Arkansas. I'm going to get right into your thoughts on that. Who's the next guy at Kentucky? 615-737-1025 is the phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brent is on the line with a thought on the next coach of Kentucky. What's up, Brent?
You know, I really don't have – I think Jay Wright or all the guys you guys have mentioned would be a great get for them. But as a Tennessee fan, losing Kinect and all that offense, we have solid role players coming back, but we need to replace some offense. Can we poach one of those five stars that perhaps isn't going pro?
Yeah, totally. I mean, why not?
You better poach him before Cal does.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Brent. I have a feeling that all of those, because I think Kentucky has the number two recruiting class coming in 2025.
Yep, and there's speculation that some of them will go with Cal.
I would venture to guess that most of them will, but some of them might stick around at Kentucky because that's been their dream job, but others might go somewhere else, like a Tennessee, like a wherever else. This is absolutely an opportunity for a Rick Barnes or a Bruce Pearl or Lamont Paris at South Carolina, Nate Oates at Alabama, you know, anywhere in the country to say, Cal's not there anymore. That's interesting. You can come here. And we are an established program with an established coaching staff.
And remember in the context that part of the reason that Cal started having trouble winning as much is it's in his DNA. He loves recruiting the best high school players. Mm-hmm. But that ended up not being the best way to win now. The best way to win, take a look at tonight's lineups, right?
UConn.
It's older teams. Mm-hmm. Older teams. And there's transfers in there, right? Teams that, you know, and that is not Cal's formula. And that's the big thing, right? When he goes to Arkansas, is he going to change? Or is he going to just try to do the same thing? I want the best high school players. If they're one and done, great. I'll be able to go around to everybody and say, look at all the NBA players that I have recruited and have stopped by through my program. I put them on a road to success. Mm-hmm. That was how he kept it going. But now that's not the way to win. You got to have enough older guys who are 22, 21, 23, sometimes even older than that.
Now, 25,
those days are limited, right? Because the COVID guys are finally going to cycle out. Finally. And that will change it a little bit. But all that being said, how do you win right now? And also, I wonder if coaches are sitting there going, do I spend my, especially if you have some limits in your NIL, do I spend my NIL guys on freshmen before they've played a college game? Mm-hmm. Or do I spend it on the transfers who I have seen play and have gotten it done? They've put up numbers at other places, and I kind of know that they can do it on the college level. That's an evolving question.
I think you have to have a balance. You have to have that incoming freshman, preferably, you know, a five-star guy. And then you have to have that transfer that is sort of your veteran, in quotes, you know, on the team. Because, and you know, is Coach Cal willing to change his philosophy on how to win? Meaning, he goes to Arkansas, and will he try to get more of a balanced team when you're talking about freshmen compared to upperclassmen? Will he try to get a balanced team, or will he try to, you know, do a sort of this shock and awe, like go and get the best recruiting class, generate this this fan base, and then kind of go from there. What do I do as a coach?
Will he be forced to adjust? Is he going to get those five stars at Arkansas?
It didn't work at Kentucky, so you figure you got to adjust a little bit.
You know, who has a good feel for that balance? Because just to tie it back to the caller, he said, you know, what about Tennessee? I think Barnes has a pretty good idea of blending. I need a couple of good high school recruits that I can build, and then I need a couple of Dalton Connects, you know, guys coming in who are experienced, who can add to the mix. Mm-hmm. So I wonder who he's got up his sleeve for maybe another player or two to replace what he's losing. Because he is losing a lot. He's losing Connect. He's losing those guys that have played over 100 games.
James, Vescovy,
and those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Blake Texan, he's an Arkansas fan, said, "We've been good with Musk for several years now, but bringing in Cal should be the next step above. I would be careful." Mm-hmm. Because Musk got to Arkansas in 2020, so it was the weird COVID season. Since then, he went to two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16. Now, this past year was bad for Arkansas. They were bad. They missed the tournament. But in that same span, Cal hasn't been able to get past the round of 32. So I understand, in theory, when you bring in a Cal who's an expert recruiter and has the resume that he has and he's won a national championship, in theory, you should expect more. Mm-hmm. But be careful what you wish for. And I would say be careful expecting a national championship right off the bat. I don't know if that's how Arkansas fans are feeling, but it's not like Nick Saban is walking through those doors. And there's a reason why Cal kind of got run out of Kentucky, and it's because fans just wanted more.
Yeah, and then maybe he can give Arkansas a little bit more than what they had last season. And I'm sure that will happen. I'm sure, you know, once you look at this Arkansas team heading into next season, it will be a team that people will consider, okay, this is one of the top teams in the SEC. Based upon what Cal did, you know, recruits coming with him, guys that decommitted from Kentucky and leaving there, they're going to come to Arkansas with him. But to me, it's not about that. It's not about going to get the five-star, because we know that's something he can do. Show me something that you haven't been able to do. That's what you're going to have to eventually show Arkansas fans. They will – listen, they're going to – see, here's the problem that Cal may run into. Because of what – because now you have a resume. You have a long resume of getting recruits and winning during the regular season. And that may fly well for the Kentucky fan base early on. But they're not going to sit around and wait 15, 16 years like the Kentucky fan base and the University of Kentucky did. I think if he doesn't win early, then they're going to be looking, because they don't want to get into this, let's hold on to him for a little while longer, because he's bringing in recruits and eventually we're going to get a national championship. Well, Kentucky did that, and see what that got them. I don't think Arkansas is going to be willing to hold on that long. So Coach Cal may have to change his philosophy just a bit in regards to balancing out his roster, young guys versus upperclassmen. Because to me, if you don't win, you don't win early at Arkansas, that fan base is going to turn on you too, quickly.
Got to win.
Yeah, you got to win.
No matter where you are. Mm-hmm. Dustin in Hopkinsville, I believe Dustin is a Kentucky fan, says, I like South Carolina's coach Lamont Paris, and I like Kevin Keats as well, coach at NC State. It surprises me, frankly. I think Kentucky is going to want to go after the big name. And yeah, Kevin Keats found himself in the Final Four, but NC State lost, what, 7 of their last 9 regular season games? Like, there were NC State fans ready to get him out of there before they went on a tournament run. Lamont Paris at South Carolina, they were truly horrendous 2 seasons ago. Had a really good season this year, but he has a small sample size of success.
No, I just don't think. I think they're going to want more of a robust resume. Got to do it for longer before Kentucky. That's Kentucky territory, I think. Yeah. And not to take anything away, I think he's done a tremendous job.
Totally.
But sustaining it is the next level. And Keats, perennial bubble, right, until this year. Mm-hmm. Pretty improbable run. I don't see him on the radar there for Kentucky.
I think Kentucky, they want the name, the coach, the Billy Donovan, the one that you come in and it's like, okay, all things are restored in order. They're not going to bring in some guy that's, is he a winner? Is he not? We'll see. We'll let it play out. They want to bring in a winner.
Yeah. The other names I think we've mentioned, I think are all, they all definitely would make some sense in different ways. I could see it. Those two guys I think would be lower level for them.
Yes, I would agree. All right, Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Ryan McDonough and Luke Shen. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD will join us coming up next. We'll talk Titans top 30 visits. We'll talk draft, and we'll also take a deep dive into some of the most recent mock drafts, what they have the Titans doing. TD joins us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.